Hi, I'm Allie.
I'm Nick.
And this is the But Have You Tried Bookshelf.
Why is it that we miss one for April Fool's Day and it feels like we haven't done this in years?
In years.
Decades.
There was an eclipse. So much has gone on.
Yeah.
But we're back.
It's true.
It's good to be back.
This is a bookshelf episode, so I don't think I have a ton of things to tell you, but I'm going to do my best.
Well, I don't think I have a ton of things to tell you either, but I'm going to do my best. Well, this month has been insane.
What an exciting half hour of radio this is
about to be. T.S. Eliot said it best, April is the cruelest month.
Oh, look at that. Quoting poetry during poetry month.
I know.
That's great.
So good. I mean, it is like one of my favorite poets, so yeah. It's
Didn't he write
It's not
Cats?
That impressive.
Isn't that T.S. Eliot?
he didn't write the musical, okay. But he did write what the musical is based
okay.
on.
Okay, all right,
so
all right. So T.S.
Totally
Eliot remixed
him.
By Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
That's what
But I will is. Say okay. T.S. Eliot has written some strange stuff in his life.
Okay.
So my sophomore year of college, I wrote this paper for this like seminar class I was in. It was like, write about some author or book or something that's been like significant to you in your life.
Okay.
So I wrote about T.S. Eliot, like a total weirdo.
Okay.
And to do this, I like wanted to read some of his juvenilia.
Okay.
And so I like requested from the archives of some university, like this short story that he wrote for some journal when he was like in school or whatever.
Deep. Okay.
Tale of a Whale. It is one of the truly strangest things I've ever read. This crew of a ship, they get shipwrecked.
Right.
Like a whale runs into their ship and dies, but also shipwrecks them.
Okay.
So they like decide they're going to use the whale as their
as like
boat,
the ship
and they like take the mast of the boat and like stick it into the whale.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't remember how it ends.
Maybe you
the ending was the least important part.
To Andrew Lloyd Webber to see if he wants to make a musical about. You know,
I don't know if I want a musical about that to exist. So.
Okay. Have you been reading any poetry since it's Poetry Month?
I've been reading a little bit of poetry.
Okay.
I have right now a book called The Weather Inside Her by Amy Yannity, which is Corey's mom. Corey, who wrote our music.
I didn't realize she had a book.
Yeah.
Oh.
We have it in the collection.
Really?
Once I return it, because I've been like renewing it over and over again, then you can read it.
Okay. We should get her to sign it.
I know. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I wonder if it is signed. I didn't look. I don't think so.
Okay.
We should definitely make her sign it.
Yeah. I'm almost afraid to ask if you liked it, because if you didn't, that's going to be awkward.
All of it that I've read so far has been really
good.
You
liked it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's something. I read one called Res Dogs by Joseph Bruchak.
Oh, nice.
It is set during 2020, so it's enough time has passed that I can read things about the pandemic without spiraling into a deep depression.
Right, right.
But it's about this girl who is separated from her parents during the pandemic. So she's with her grandparents. So she's learning about, it's a Native American family. So she's learning a little bit about her roots and her past. And yeah, it was good. It's one of those, you know, it's like a novel in verse, which I think is cool and effective. So I liked that quite a bit. And then I read When Fathers Cry. Why Fathers Cry? By Kwame Alexander.
I couldn't tell you.
Which is a mix of, it is poetry, but it's also like an autobiography. And it was an interesting read. He's got a podcast that kind of goes with it. And I've heard the first episode of that.
That's
too.
Cool.
So yeah, pretty good.
Nice.
I'm never a huge, like, I'm going to read poetry today, but.
For a while, I was getting the like Poetry Foundation poem of the day in my email.
Oh, okay.
And I would read them every single day.
Yeah.
And I now don't read them every single day. And so they're just like accruing.
Yeah.
But for a while, it was I need to get back into it. Because for a while, I was like, well, I need to catch up. But like at this point, it's been years.
Yeah.
That would be impossible.
That's too much. Can you get it as a text message? That might be more realistic.
Maybe.
Okay.
I feel like a text message would be worse. At least
it would
me,
be?
Though.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it would just look janky in a text message.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe
you're an old soul.
Okay.
You're an old soul.
Yeah. You know, I actually ordered Res Dogs for our collection for like a November, like Native American Heritage Month book. So I'm glad to hear it's good.
Yeah.
I haven't read it, but
I've
been wanting to.
Yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
That's the thing about like choosing books that we should buy is I see them and I see that they look interesting and then my to be read pile grows.
I know.
To infinity.
That's me all day. And the thing is, I feel like 90% of the time I don't get to those things because I have so many other things like on the list. It happens.
I know. Or I'm like, oh, yeah, I should read these things. And I just keep reading more Terry Pratchett over and over. So
is that what you're reading? Let's talk about it.
That's some of what I'm reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I started the Night Watch or City Watch. Unclear.
One of the two.
One
Terry
of the two.
Pratchett about watching
Terry
stuff.
Pratchett subseries. So I'm on the second one now, which is Men at Arms. And I've encountered a lot of these characters in other Terry Pratchett books that I've read, which is one of the beautiful things about Terry Pratchett, yes, in my mind, is that, like, if you're like, eh, I don't know if I'm going to care about this particular series, but you've, like, already encountered the character. So you're like, well, I care about it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a way to get
sometimes
you hooked.
Sometimes those interconnected worlds, that can be good, and other times it's just, like, exhausting.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want to read the whole side story over here, but sometimes you kind of have to, so it sounds like Terry Pratchett, you can pick and choose.
Yeah, I feel like he does a good job of, like, if you recognize the characters, you're like, nice.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you're not like, who is this? What's happening?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, I appreciate that a lot. But I'm pretty sure this is the book where they hire the girl who's a werewolf to be part of the City Watch, who I encountered before, and she was a very cool character.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, how's your witch reading? I feel like I haven't heard about you reading witch content in a while.
I actually haven't been reading a lot of witch content lately.
Okay.
I've been like really deep in the like murder mysteries, which is my other big thing beside witches. But I feel like I don't want to say I've run out of witch content, but like a lot of the witch content that I was planning to read, I have already read. So now I need to like make a new list of witch books to read.
Now, I did go to the Public Library Association conference where I got a scholarship to attend. So thanks, PLA. And it was a lot of fun. We had a little video on our socials if you want to check that out. So a lot of my reading is inspired by PLA authors who were there and different things I encountered. So I'm going to get that right off the top. Because I'm currently reading one, Ace Atkins, that's called Don't Let the Devil Ride. And it is a new series. Well, I don't know if it's a series. He didn't say, but he was on a mystery panel. And I had read Ace Atkins before because, as you know, I love Robert B. Parker. And Ace Atkins took over the Spencer series when Robert B. Parker died. So he was sort of writing in the Robert B. Parker style. This is the first time I've written a book that's just Ace Atkins in his own style. And I am having a pretty good time with it. I got a signed copy, which is always fun.
Nice.
I don't think the book comes out until July or something. So, you know.
Sneak preview.
Yeah, that's right. So that isn't my featured book because I'm still reading it, but I am liking it. And we're coming up on Star Wars Day, so Amanda and I here at the library are reading Darth Plagueis by James Luceno, because we're going to do a little This Sindarian Life, How's Things crossover, where we do a Star Wars Day book club, which Amanda and I have been doing for a long time, 5 or 6 years at this point. So usually,
I mean,
a
once
good
you
time.
Get rolling, there's no reason to stop.
Yeah, keep doing
there's
it.
So much Star Wars.
You know how I like to trick people into reading books with
yeah,
me, so,
absolutely. You know. It's a great move to pull.
And then I am reading Rainbow Rowell. Well, I finished the existing stuff, everything that's out, Rainbow Rowell's She-Hulk, because Rainbow Rowell was one of the guest speakers at PLA. So I loved this She-Hulk run. I've always loved She-Hulk. And she used this really deep cut character called Jack of Hearts.
Hmm.
So she was doing a signing afterwards. And when I was getting my book signed, I was like, did you choose Jack of Hearts? Because that's so obscure. She was like, I did. So I got to chat with Rainbow Rowell about this obscure Marvel character who I've always loved, and apparently she has too.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a fun conversation. But that aside, it's a great She-Hulk run, and I think there's maybe one more volume coming out that I'm eagerly anticipating. So are you reading any comic books at the moment?
Not much. I did finish that Captain Carter comic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A little bit of a tie-in to the Agent Carter episode.
That's right.
I do really want to read that She-Hulk run, though. That's been, like, very high on my comic book to read list for a while.
We got it
so
right here.
Maybe that'll be my next comic book foray.
Tell me more about the books you're reading. Anything else you didn't mention? What is your featured book?
What is my featured book?
Know.
Did I choose a featured book? I guess The Golden Tresses of the Dead, which is the 10th Flavia DeLuce, and I think it's the last one that is out.
Oh.
So
that's a hard time, because when you caught up with Louise Penny, it was a real dark
time
for you.
That was a really dark time in my life. Yeah.
Just everybody give Allie her space. She's caught up on
Louise
Penny.
Yeah, don't talk
Penny.
To me. There's
thing.
No more Louise Penny. Yeah, actually, I wonder when. I'm not going to Google it right now, even though I really want to.
It would depress you. I don't think you should.
I want to know when the next Louise Penny is coming out.
Oh.
But I should look that up later.
Okay.
I feel like I could probably re-listen to them now, though. It's been a while.
I can't. I just can't.
Yeah. I do feel a little guilty at this point if I'm rereading books, because I know there's so many other books that I want
to
read.
Free yourself to the guilt. You gotta like, just do what makes you happy.
Yeah, Louise Penny, that's all I have to say.
I have taken your advice to heart, because you've said many times, stop reading books that you don't like. And there's a couple of books that I have set aside.
Because I'm so
just
proud
like,
of you.
This is not doing it for me.
That's great.
The Grey Wolf by Louise Penny comes out October 29th, 2024.
Hmm.
this year.
I can wait.
Well, my featured book also ties into PLA. One of the authors, there's a murder mystery panel, which was really fun. Also, Craig Johnson, who writes the Longmire series, was there, and he was very cool. But there was an author that I hadn't heard of before named Eva Jersic, and she has a book called Department of Rare Books and Special Collections, which we happen to have right here in the collection. So I checked it out. It was just going to see if I could read a little bit before her panel, just to kind of get to know her writing a little
bit better.
And I ended up really liking it. And so,
I mean, the title alone is definitely intriguing.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And longtime listeners will know, before I worked here, I worked in academic libraries for almost a decade. And it is set in an academic library. So I felt a little bit like, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that. I know these different things that happen. So it was kind of nice to revisit that world. But I like not working in that world. but no, I really like the book. And it's basically about the man who's the head of this archive at this prestigious university has a stroke and is out of commission.
Oh, my gosh.
Just as they've acquired this, like, million-dollar manuscript.
Oh, my gosh.
And when his second-in-command goes to get it out, it's missing.
Oh, no.
And so, like, the university doesn't want to go public with that, and they think it's probably misplaced. And then so it just sort of becomes, the more they look into this missing manuscript, it opens up this can of worms, and it just sort of spirals out of control from there in a way that I thought was really... It's a very non-traditional mystery because it's not really a murder mystery. It's, you know, where'd that manuscript go kind of mystery.
Right.
But it really kept me engaged and interested, and I'm anticipating her next book, which... she had advanced copies of, but I had to run to the Rainbow Rowell panel, so I couldn't stay and get an advanced copy. And I went to the publisher's booth later. They were like, no, we gave them all away. So
that's too bad.
I have to wait like the common man.
Yeah.
And I wanted an early access, but it wasn't to be. So that is my featured book of the month.
That does sound really good. I kind of want to read that now.
Well, we have it in the collection, so you can go and check it out right here.
All
right.
Well, what about movies? Have you been watching anything?
I did watch some stuff. I did some rewatching. We showed my son both Aladdin, like Disney's Aladdin, and Galaxy Quest.
Oh, nice.
He loved Galaxy Quest. Have you seen it?
I have. A long time ago. Okay. Like, so long ago that I was, like, pretty terrified by the scary parts.
Yeah.
Like, I remember jumping off of the couch behind the couch to hide from something.
Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman. And it's a pretty transparent take on Star Trek. And, you know, the crew of this old janky TV show get mistaken for a real crew and they go to space and they have, you know, it's a whole thing. But it's hilarious and it's also good sci-fi, which I appreciate. But my son was like, can we watch the show now? And we were like, no, there is no show. That was just a joke in the movie.
Oh, no.
And he was like, no, come on. Where's the show? And we're like, no, there's no Galaxy Quest
show. I think what you're looking for is just
Star Trek. Yeah, it's classic Star Trek is all it has to do. So we watched both of those and I'm proud to say that both stood up on rewatch. I also watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So as you recall, this past Halloween was the Ghostbusters Halloween for me, where I watched all the movies.
So much Ghostbusters.
So I was prepared.
All the
for
ghosts
Frozen Empire.
Were busted.
They were. And so we watched this all together and really liked it. It's cool. I like where these new movies are going. I saw some complaints about this movie that there are too many characters, and there are a lot of characters, but I don't feel like any of them get lost. So
that's good.
I was really happy with it. Are you ever going to watch these?
Maybe. There's a good chance.
A good chance.
It could happen.
Okay.
Anything's possible.
I could see you liking these new ones. I don't know about the old, I don't know about the 80s ones. But
That's fair.
Afterlife and this one, I feel like you could jump right in and be fine. And just understand, yes, there were Ghostbusters before Paul Rudd, and you're okay. So
Paul Rudd is not the first Ghostbusters.
Yes.
You heard it first here, ladies and gents.
So that is my featured movie of the month, was Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Though, I did watch a terrible movie called Robin Hood The Rebellion. I have a soft spot for Robin Hood movies.
Yeah, Robin Hood is great.
But this was just, I don't know. It was so low budget, which sometimes can still work, especially for something like Robin Hood. But it was just unrelentlessly boring. Like it just, every scene felt like it took 30 minutes and like no new information was gained from watching it. So it was a rough time. I liked that Jamie Foxx one that nobody liked. I liked that one and I liked the Russell Crowe, Cate Blanchett one from... I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, the Ridley Scott one. So
I don't know if I definitely don't know these by actors, but I might have seen them.
Right. Yeah.
Because of who I am.
What about Robin Hood Men in Tights?
I haven't
seen
that one.
Classic 90s. Okay.
I think that's one of the only Robin Hood movies that I haven't seen.
It's pretty good.
There was a phase.
It's pretty good.
When I was a kid where like, I want to say like every week for like a month or two, we just like only watched a Robin Hood movie.
Okay.
And including like, like silent films one where wow. it's like there's like a, you know, like a scene and then it cuts to just like a black background with yeah. like text
yeah.
telling you what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was okay. a time.
All right.
That
so maybe you'd like this one. Who knows?
I don't know. But maybe I'll try it eventually.
Cannot recommend it. What about you? What are you watching?
I watched, I think, only two movies this okay. month.
All right.
Which were weirdly similar. All Both right. of them start out the same way, where a girl is flying to London for the first time.
Okay.
And she meets a guy at the airport / on the plane.
Okay.
And they kind of become a thing. Those and then they diverge.
Similar.
I know. It was like weirdly, like we were watching the second one and I was like, how many movies can
it's
start
weird
this
that
way?
You didn't do that on purpose, but it still happened.
I know. Well, some of it is just like if you're trying to choose between movies and you've uh-huh. been to London and you really like London and you see London in the description,
you
it just like
it.
Bumps it
you
higher.
Just go
yeah.
For
you're
it.
Just like, well, okay. now we have to.
Okay.
So, but these two movies were Upgraded, which is an Amazon original that came out this year. This one is starring Camila Mendes, and it's one of those movies where
like from Riverdale, right?
I think so.
Okay.
She's also the bride in Palm Springs. This is one of those movies where it's like the character gets caught up in a lie, like a small
oh.
lie at the beginning, but then it turns into a huge yeah. lie. So she like meets this guy and she's talking about how she's going to like, oh, something happened and the art company like that like sells art that she works for
okay.
is like calling in their, you know, US director or whatever. And then he thinks it's her and she's like, oh yeah, haha. But then she keeps running into him and she's like leading a double life. It's very stressful.
Wow.
It's
okay.
very stressful.
Is this the Princess Switch? Are we describing the Princess
no,
Switch?
Okay. It's not quite that much of a double life.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a pretty good movie, but I did like Love at First Sight better, which is all about like probability and like these two people meet on the plane
oh.
and they keep losing each other and finding each other again. But
okay.
it was just very cute and nice
that
and less
fun.
Stressful than the other one.
Yeah.
So that made it a win.
Yes. I mentioned The Princess Switch, which reminded me of other past episodes. And I had a Jack Finney sighting recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. My son likes this show called Colossal Mysteries, where it looks at like, it's like a kid's show, but it's like, oh, how about this urban legend that happened? Here's the truth behind it. And there was one called, so it's Colossal Mysteries, Season 3, Episode 7, A Time Traveler in New York City. And it's in reference to this Jack Finney story called I'm Scared, which was in the collection The Third Level. And it was about people experiencing these out-of-time moments. And in that story, there's a man named Rudolph Fentz who goes out of his house in like 1870 and like ends up in Times Square in 1950. And there's a whole mystery about like, where did he go? And then they find this guy
mm-hmm.
dressed from the 1870s and like, could it be the same guy? Ah. So it's in the short story, and the short story is set up like each one is a case file. And somehow this short story got published in sort of like a paranormal journal as if it were like an actual thing that happened.
Oh.
And then it just spiraled after that and became like an honest to goodness urban legend that this
oh my
Rudolph
gosh.
Fentz thing was real. And so the big resolution in this episode was like, it's from a story by Jack Finney.
Oh my
gosh. Son like pauses it and runs in the other room. And he was like, Dad, Jack Finney. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. I was impressed. One that he just knew the name and came to tell me, but it was also cool because I didn't know that at all.
Right.
That this became like an actual urban legend. And I looked into it afterwards and it's true.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, a little Jack Finney there.
Isn't there like some story about how the War of the Worlds was like first read as a radio play?
Yes.
And some people like tuned in partway through and thought
didn't
it was
realize.
Real.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh my gosh.
People freaked
That'd
out.
That'd be terrifying.
It would be.
Oh
yeah.
Boy. You can't believe everything you hear on the radio, guys.
I know. It's true.
All right. Well, what about shows?
Well, I told you before we started recording that I started too many shows at the moment. And I have. I started The Regime, which is a Kate Winslet sort of a political, I'm only one episode in, but it's really interesting. One called The Sympathizers with Robert Downey Jr., which is about the Vietnam War. And then one called Sugar, which is sort of a noir mystery with Colin Farrell.
Hmm.
And I've only watched the first episode of all of these three, but I am in. And two of them are HBO shows or Max shows, because I got Max because I need to watch the Curb Your Enthusiasm final season. Because the finale just aired and people just want to spoil it for me and I won't.
That's
I
really
won't stand
that's inconsiderate.
That. So I'm trying to get through Curb Your Enthusiasm. But the nice side of that is I temporarily have Max so I can watch shows that have been on my list.
So now you have to like absolutely binge them though, right? Like,
yeah. I got to get through them in a month. Yeah. They're not going to trick me into a second month.
If you just like start, you know, being like, I took another sick day, well, I'll be like, all right.
Speaking of sick days, this is the first time I've seen the bottom half of your face in so long.
Yeah.
Between you and your husband.
What happened, listeners,
is sick.
Starting like April 1st,
yeah,
I was sick. I had like a weird sinus thing going on. Don't know what it was. I'm not even totally sure if it was an actual illness. Or if my sinuses
something
were just
was amiss.
Mad.
We can agree.
It was a bad time.
Yeah.
So I was wearing a mask for like a week. And then just about the time that I was like, all right, cool. I don't think I need to wear this anymore. My husband tested positive for COVID.
Caleb from last episode. Yeah.
He is better now. But the interesting thing about the like current guidelines for like mask wearing and when you're around people is that when you have COVID, if you like are getting better almost right away.
Yeah.
Like if you're not like really bad for a while, you basically only have to wear a mask for like 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
But if you come into contact with someone with COVID, you're supposed to wear a mask for like
10 days.
And so I've been wearing a mask between being myself and Caleb
at this point.
Right. And for several days it was like, I'm wearing a mask at work so I don't get you guys sick.
Right.
And I'm wearing a mask at home so that I don't get sick.
Right.
And so it's like there's like 5 minutes where I walk from work to my house and my house to work where my face is like touching
breathe.
The air. And I'm like, nothing is inhibiting my nose. But today I'm not wearing a mask. I'm so happy.
It's funny how annoying it is when you consider that for 2 years, like we did it all the time.
I know.
Like, I've had to a few times. Like we just did we do a deposit collection where we take a bunch of large print books to some of the assisted living facilities and you have to wear a mask when you go in, which makes perfect sense. I'm happy to do it. But like, even just for that short amount of time, I'm like, get off my face,
right?
You know?
And it's funny because like when we were like constantly wearing them, I was like annoyed.
Yeah.
But I wasn't that annoyed.
Yeah.
And I feel like now my tolerance for it is just like so low. I'm just like, I can't do it.
100%
I think also part of the issue is that if it's at all warm and I'm wearing like a cloth mask, it makes my face really warm.
Yep.
And it's been pretty warm in the library the last week. And so I've been like, ah, my face.
You become a human terrarium, like that little space. Yeah.
Yes.
No fun.
Yeah.
No fun.
Whole civilizations could start in there just from that warmth.
Well, I'm glad that both of you have recovered and you can breathe easy again.
Me too.
All right. My featured show of the month is one called And Then There Were None, based on a novel by Agatha Christie. That's right. And this was really good. It was 3 episodes. We watched it on Acorn TV, but we also do have the DVD here. So it's just a modern retelling of that story, which is a dark story. Like if you're familiar with it at all, it's sort of like, all these people are awful. Like I don't want to hang out with any of these people. So,
and they all basically die also. So there's that.
Yes. That's kind of given away in the title. So there is that. I thought the violence in this was a little more than I wasn't expecting some of the gore that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the deaths, you know, by nature of the poem are somewhat gory, I wasn't expecting it. So that's my one caveat. Cause they were definitely like, look away, Nick. But it was really good. It was well acted and interesting. And I read that the crew who did a few other Agatha Christie adaptations. So I got to dig in. Have you revisited Tommy and Tuppence?
I haven't. I've kind of been saving it.
Since my victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yep. Maybe now that I'm running out of Flavia to lose, I'll have to go back to Tommy and Tuppence to like fit that mystery shenanigans hole in my heart.
I think that's a good idea. I do think that's a good idea because you don't know how long you have to wait for the next one of those. So
for the next Flavia to lose, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw the 11th one on Goodreads, which presumably means it's coming out.
It's in pre-pub mode.
Sometime in the next year,
okay.
Question mark?
Who knows?
But still, then I'll finish that one and who knows how long it'll be
after
that. So,
you
gotta be careful.
What are you watching? I assume you're somehow rewatching Marvelous Miss Maisel again with new people.
I am still rewatching the Marvel. We haven't finished rewatching it. There's 5 seasons of it, so it takes a while.
Okay.
Especially because we watch usually like at most 1 episode a week. Sometimes not even that if we're
old school,
sick
classic.
Or something. I know, it's kind of fun actually.
Yeah.
But we are in the 5th season, so we are almost done.
Okay.
And it's nice because it wasn't that long ago that I watched the 5th season for the first time, but it's kind of nice to revisit a little bit and have another opportunity because it's the final season to kind of take it in and process it. So I'm having a good time. But other than that, I'm watching the usual stuff.
Okay.
Ghosts, Mrs. Maisel,
The
occasional Wednesday episode. If I'm in a bad mood, Caleb's like 2 strategies are like send me outside or play an episode of Wednesday.
Okay.
So depending on what the weather is like.
You might be watching Wednesday.
We might be watching Wednesday.
Yeah, which we have the DVD now, folks. So if you don't have Netflix, we finally We have it on DVD. Nice. So that's exciting. Did you finish Superman and Lois? Did you watch all three seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So because now we are waiting.
We are recording on April 18th, which is the anniversary of Superman and Lois's debut in comics in 1938.
Nice. Man, so, that was a long time ago. I know.
And yet the library had been open for at least a year by the time Superman came out, which is
so
a weird,
bizarre.
Weird thing to think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a collection of Superman comics by Mark Miller, who he's known for he has his whole like Miller world. He did like Kick-Ass and the Jupiter's Legacy books, and he did a lot of Flash stuff for DC. But it was this collection of Superman, and it's a little hodgepodge because it's some issues from like the Superman animated series comic book and some just like standalones and one-offs. So it's not a great collection. I would never be like, are you new Superman? Read this random collection. But it was kind of neat to have all the Mark Miller Supermans together.
That is kind of cool.
What's your go-to Superman?
Well, I really am enjoying Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
I also, for a while in like middle school or high school, I was watching Lois and Clark with my parents. And so that, I feel like that's what I think of when I think of like Superman.
Yep. It's such a great cast. It really is.
It's very good.
Great versions of those characters. I haven't rewatched that. Some of it I've never rewatched. And I feel like I could do that now.
I haven't even watched all of it, to be honest. Because
really?
I think my parents had watched all of it before.
Yeah.
And we were rewatching it, and we got to a point where we were like, all right, some of this stuff is just, there's like cloning and people eating frogs and everything.
Yes.
And we were like, all right, I think we need a break.
It gets a little extra, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, they were saying they remembered there being some really good stuff that happened after that. And so we were like, oh, should we skip? But how far should we skip? And then I think we got busy watching other shows and we never figured that out.
I don't
think
there's anything you necessarily have to skip. I mean, it takes a bit of a quality dip, but I think the later season, I think it's the last season maybe, has the whole new Krypton arc where Kryptonians come, and that's really cool, like that's an extended 5 or 6 episodes, I feel like, where they're dealing with this whole new Krypton thing, which I thought was very cool. So yeah, I could rewatch Lois and Clark. That's a good pull. I like it. Can't believe you haven't watched Smallville. I really feel like you would like Smallville.
I know.
But
I feel like I intended to watch Smallville and somehow it never happened.
Yeah.
So I guess it still can.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of Superman stuff here, just by coincidence. It's not
for
me.
No reason.
It's not me turning the gears, but we do have that. And early on in the library podcast, I think it's episode 31 of the All the Books Show, we have a special Superman spotlight where we just talk about all our favorite comics. So you can go find that at soundcloud.com/allthebooks or on the YouTube channel. It's a good time to revisit. The only other show that I've watched that we haven't talked about is Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter, which you assigned me, and then we did a real bait and switch, and you and I jumped over to previously on X-Men, and we never actually talked about Agent Carter.
It's true.
So
we pulled a real villain move
there.
Yes.
I did watch the whole first season, and I read Captain Carter, and I was a little indifferent to it.
Fair enough, I guess.
Here's the thing. I was disappointed because she's a cool character in the movie, and I was a little disappointed that the show... Like, I understand they're dealing with, like, the times and everything, but having her be so, like, beholden to the other, like, men in the agency and her sort of being, like, I wanted to see her be a cool agent. I wanted to see her be a cool secret agent in America, like, pew, pew. And I just feel like we didn't get that. And we jumped right into this, her, like, doing this side quest for Howard Stark. And I don't know, it just never quite settled with me. And by the end of the season, I was kind of like, okay, I'd like to see more, maybe. But I was a little on the fence about it. It was never like appointment watching for me.
Fair enough.
Like getting through the first season, I was like, all right, I got to do another episode of this, which is not what I wanted it to be. How do you, what do you feel about it?
Yeah, I like Agent Carter quite a bit. Caleb and I watched it together some time ago, obviously, which I think he mentioned in the episode where
they
talked about it. I feel like I didn't really, like, it is very true that a lot of the elements of the plot are kind of like men in Peggy's life making things happen, if that makes sense. But I feel like I didn't really process that when I was watching it because so much of it is like her doing cool stuff. And so that's what I was so fixated on.
Yeah.
And so like I didn't have too hard of a time dealing with that stuff just because I was so hyper fixated on Peggy Carter being cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. She is cool. I just felt like at least the plot of the first season, I don't think really gave her enough room to shine. Like when they do the one where they go overseas and she's the one with all the expertise and stuff, and it was kind of like a paradigm shift for the other, like her coworkers and stuff, I thought that was cool. And I thought those episodes really were like, yeah, right, there she is, she's cool. And I wanted that to be the whole focus of her just being like super cool. And that's what I was felt like I was missing.
Mm, but, fair enough.
Now, listen, Allie, I know that you like Agent Carter. But have you tried the giant ice cream sundaes they have at Texas Hot right here in Wellsville?
I have not tried the giant ice cream sundaes. And based on the like hand size shapes that you just made to indicate the size of the giant ice cream sundaes, I'm a little alarmed and apprehensive.
I love ice cream. Ice cream is like my go-to. Like if I was going to have any sort of snack, I would want ice cream. Like anytime we go out or something, and I'm always the one who's like, maybe we should get ice cream.
Would it really hurt if we
got
ice cream?
So what if we just got some ice cream? How do you feel about ice cream?
I love ice cream. Ice cream is great.
Do you? Okay. All right. Now, I have never had the giant sundaes at Texas Hot because I didn't know that they existed.
I don't think I knew they existed either.
But our
until
friend,
this moment.
Nick Davis from the ND Vision podcast, who was on for our Dragon Ball episode, swears by them. And he was like, you got to try these sundaes.
Oh.
And so I think that we need to go to Texas Hot. We need to get giant sundaes and do a little bit of a remote episode where we eat these sundaes and talk about it.
I support this.
And then we can also talk about some of our favorite ice cream and weird ice creams that we like and things like that.
That sounds like a great idea.
Because while I was at the PLA conference, I also got weird ice cream.
Nice.
Because I'll take any opportunity I can.
To try weird ice cream?
To try weird ice cream. That's right.
All right. Well, then in 2 weeks, we will be back to try ice cream.
I love it. I love it.
For work, for our jobs.
For our job.
We will
for
try
our
ice cream.
Absolutely. Yeah. For the good of the library. We
absolutely.
Must
the library needs us to do
we
this.
We need to have giant ice cream sundaes in the middle of the day, I think.
Absolutely.
I think that's what we need, and I think that's what the library needs. So, you know, really we're benefiting the whole community. So
this is so generous of us.
That's right. Okay. Well, I will see you then.
Sounds good.